Deep from the halls of injustice, it's the Pod E from Sin Central. Man, we are having a great time here in Iowa today. The weather's beautiful. Of course, the wind's blowing hard enough that we can all fly our steel kites. We are enjoying this day because we're getting closer and closer to completion on our Royal Enfield. But before I talk to you about my update, I want to tell you, today we are going to be talking with a guy named Bob Kay. Now, why? Why Bob Kay? Well, let me tell you what. He's a guy that can tell us who Jesse James was before he was Jesse James. So you're going to want to stick around for that. First, my update on the Royal Enfield project, though. It is going bangingly. You know, you guys know that have been following me. I've built two frames, two tanks, two sets of forward controls. I've basically been building two bikes because I've been indecisive, but I have stopped being indecisive. I have found my groove, and I'm moving right on along with that thing. Almost got it. I'm doing body work now, molding stuff in, getting ready to. I got to still build a battery box into the seat pan today, and but we're moving right along. It's going to be a good looking bike. I'm waiting on a carb conversion kit to get here from England, from Hitchcock Motors. I haven't seen it yet. It was supposed to be here Saturday, so I hope it gets here pretty soon. I want to make sure that I got all the spacing for that taken care of. Because I didn't have it, I went ahead and have set the motor and everything without it. We're just gonna hope I don't have to fab up a new intake or anything for that. But anyway, the Royal Enfield build continues to go on well, and excited about that. And but now I want to get to a guy who I consider him a friend of mine. I hope he considers me a friend of his. Bob Kay. Bob, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, Pat. Of course you're a friend, man. You even took time to make sure I was okay after this recent hip surgery, man. You know, we're good buddies. Way back.
Yeah, you got that bionic hip now. You're going to be able to kick ass in two languages, probably. That's great.
Well,
you're doing
I
would well
like to kick
that.
Out my motorcycle.
I imagine Kyle Shorey's real happy that hip's getting well.
Yeah, without a doubt. We got that generator shovel. It's a little tough to kick, but we got some new information. We're going to get that dialed in, and my hip getting ready. We're going to be kicking and riding down the Pacific Coast Highway pretty soon.
Oh, man, that'd be nice. So, now, Bob, before we get into all the stuff about Jesse and that, a little background, I'm super excited that we're friends because you have always kind of been an industry hero for me. You are a blue collar guy who is a true blue biker. From back in the day, you like to ride around naked with looking like you just stuck your head in a bag of powdered donuts, screaming around, drinking whiskey. You're a badass. But you've also been a successful businessman. How did you get started in motorcycles?
Well, that's an interesting story, Pat. You know, I am a third-generation Harley rider. We just recently built a bike that was a tribute to my grandfather's 29 JDH. But my grandfather rode, my father rode, and when I was growing up, they didn't want me to have a motorcycle. They thought I should go to college and get the better life. So off I go to college, and, you know, I'd always been into cars and stuff. So I had some cars and some boats I worked on, and internal combustion. But so I go off to college, and my roommate happens to be a national motocross champion, and his father had just opened up a new shop up in Massachusetts. So I was in school for a week, bought myself a motorcycle. Next year, I left school and started working in a motorcycle shop.
What did your dad and grandfather have to say about that?
Well, you know, they got no complaints these days. As you well know, it's been good to me. I did go back to school for business, which helped out a little bit as I progressed in my career, but you know, working with NEMCO for years was really one of the highlights of my life. You know, actually being a partner on NEMCO and Later on, we sold to Tucker Aki, the Biker's Choice. Life was good. We grew the company. They had no complaints. They actually got my dad riding again. Some of the best stuff was when my two brothers and me and my dad used to ride up to Laconia every year. We got to do that for about 3 or 4 years before we had to throw them in the side hack. So we got great, great stories. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some great stories. But as you and I well know, some of the best stories can only be shared by two or three over a bottle of whiskey. So.
And we'll leave it at that.
That's right. Now, you did know Jesse James before he became who everybody else knows as Jesse James. You've got a killer chopper that he built. How did you end up being a friend of his and helping him out as he got started?
Well, you know, Jesse was a really determined young man. At the time, I was, with NEMCO. We had just sold a few years before to Tucker Aki, and we were expanding the product lines. And my product manager at the time, Skeeter, had come along and met Jesse, and he had these fenders, and they were real nice. They fit well. They had a nice radius, and we thought they might be a little expensive, but we said, "Nah, they're good enough, to override the price." And boy, we were right on the money. So we started out buying fenders from them and other parts. And what was really great about Jesse back then? I mean, he was self-taught. And he used all the stuff and then made it into products, So we knew the stuff worked. He was really starting to come of his own just within a couple years after we started doing business. But he built me a bike that was a predecessor to the CFL series. We had a lot of good times together. It was, he's a very... can be very stubborn, but boy, he really knows his stuff, and he's got nobody to thank for that but himself. He's determined to do it the right way.
There you go. Now, do you guys stay in touch at all?
Yeah, every now and then. I'll hear from him. He recently needed a favor for some work he was doing, gave me a shout and stuff. So, I give him a shout. In fact, I just brought the bike out of retirement a little while ago and displayed it at a show, and made sure Jesse was cool with using his name and West Coast Choppers, and a lot of people enjoyed seeing that, bringing it back out in public.
Yeah, well, that's great, man. That is it's a cool story. Now everybody starts someplace, and we tend to forget that. I know that now, Jesse's got this huge kind of aura around him, some of which is fact, some of which is fiction. Some of which speaks to the man, some of which speaks to the myth, but I have enjoyed hearing your stories about being able to know him, and that is a beautiful motorcycle he built for you. It's timeless. You pull that out, it still looks good.
Yeah, it's a rider too, man. Put plenty of miles on that baby. It's a good bike.
That is good to know. Now, Bob, occasionally here we get these questions from people on social media, and they're biker etiquette questions, and so I'll have you help me answer these as they come through. Here's one. It says, a guy named Pete says, "I've got a chopper roller that I tried to flip. Nope, so I'm putting an engine in it. How big of an Evo should I install just to get it sold?"
An 80-inch is fine. That bike that Jesse put together for me, it's an 80-inch. Of course, it's alternator generator cases, all polished up and kind of pretty, but an 80-inch and a chopper is just fine. And don't forget, it's not just about the cubic inches, but what you do with cams and making it breathe has a lot to do with it. So I wouldn't worry about going big bore. And man, you can pick up some Evos now, some good running Evos for $1,200, $1,500.
Yeah, if you're just looking to flip it, I just find a motor and stick it in it so that you got a running motorcycle. That, and just get it going.
Yeah, it'll just around just fine, man. And you can I ran mine with a 4-speed. I really like 4-speeds, So, you can put some stuff together and come up with a real nice ride without having to go into debt for your life.
There you go. Boy, I tell you, I've seen some people have a lot of money tied up in motorcycles that they never ride. So if I'm going to make that big a payment, I better be able to live in it. So
yeah, you got that. Now, that's the other thing, Pat, is you got to be able to live in it, too. So a good 80-inch Evo is about as solid as motor as you can get.
Yep, that is the truth. Now, Bob, we're seeing a lot of events that build themselves kind of as old school events. I know that you're about to be down in Austin at one. Now these new old school events, and they spell school with a K a lot of times, which is so clever, so such an amazing use of the English language and our alphabet. Being able to be tricky that way. It actually makes better sense than using CH. But anyway, these new old school things. Now, you were at Woodstock, and now do you think that we'll eventually get back to being able to party like you guys with the love and the drugs and clothes being optional before the end of this decade? What do you think about that, Bob? You think they'll bring it all back?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me we can't do that anymore?
Well, Bob,
you've been by the house, you know, it's just you got to be careful where you do it, but, you know, a party's a party.
That's the truth. But now what do you think about these, this, you know, it's, you know, I'm pretty opinionated. I don't like a lot of the what goes on with a lot of these guys that want to claim to be, you know, something, you know, that was in the past. It's just not here, you know. I mean, it's like they're stealing somebody else's style and culture, but not all together. But what do you think about these old school bikes, kind of the way they're building bikes now? What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, Pat, it's like there's only a small number of people that ever ride on two wheels, you know, and this is a thing you just kind of wrote an article about it recently, too, that the real value of being on two wheels is the camaraderie. And it really doesn't matter if you're riding an adventure bike or even a trike if you want to go to three wheels or a chopper or a sport bike. It's really important that we remember that and we stick together and support each other. So what I'm getting at is the problem I have with some of these deals is they kind of forget where they came from, and it's hard to be totally original in the motorcycle industry. You know, belt drives came out in the teens, choppers, you know, have been running really hard since the mid-40s. You know, style-wise, if you look hard enough, you're going to find that somebody did it. You might do it a little better, a little different. But the whole value is the brotherhood and the camaraderie of being part of this scene and trying to claim that you created something that you may not have, or you're responsible for the resurrection of motorcycles is, you know, kind of blowing a lot of hot air, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And people got to remember that if you're doing for the good, and you're, you know, the style of the motorcycles, shit, man, I love them. I'm working on a rigid sportster right now myself. I already got two choppers in the stall, but, you know, you can never have enough of that clean down, just strip down, get on it and ride. That's still the best, you know. I got one bagger, but I actually ride that a lot less than some of the other bikes. So, I don't know, I hope that kind of answers your question, but it's all about being real, I guess, at the bottom line. So whether you're bringing it back from the past or trying to create something new, you know, as they say, be yourself, because an original is worth a lot more than a copy.
Well put, sir. I do. That answers the question perfectly, and you and I are right on the same page. I really push that. Let's stay in community. Let's support each other. Anything that begins to become, exclusive in the motorcycle community, I just don't think speaks well of what community looks like. Community is not exclusive in those ways because it is such a small one when you get down to it. It really is. So now you are getting ready to head down to a place where there's going to be a lot of cool bikes. You're going to the Handbuilt Show in Austin, Texas. And Now, how did the hand-built show get started? I know you didn't start that and aren't involved with it, but what is the hand-built show?
Well, Alan Stolberg and Stefan, his partner, started it, kind of on a small basis of bringing some custom bikes together of different styles. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I like about these new shows is the diversity. When I grew up, I mean, we kind of went through stages. There was a lot of choppers. I mean, I really kind of got into the late 60s. Choppers were really big. Then we got into pro streets. You know, the economy changed. Everybody went bobbers. But the deal was that you went to a show, you went somewhere, everybody had a chopper or everybody had a bobber. What's really nice about these new shows is the diversity. You'll have a European cafe bike. You'll have some crazy antique machine, and a lot of hand-built stuff. Jeff Decker brought some of his bikes in last year. The hand-built was just, you know, he had some really nice stuff. It allows you to really appreciate a lot, and you see where a lot of it's come from, because you see some of the original customs down to some of these new versions of the original customs, and it's just great, you know, and some of the people have a little attitude, but you just got to kind of take another shot of whiskey and blow right by that.
Yeah, either that or punch him in the damn throat, either one, or both. Take a shot of whiskey and then punch him in the throat. So now, one kid that really impressed me, he just popped into my head when you were talking about the kind of bikes that we're getting to see and that you'll get to see down at the hand-built show, because I'm not going to make it, is this kid, Evan Favaro. I've interviewed him several times, and I loved what he did this past year. He took an old kind of barn find digger, and he kind of restored it, but also modernized it, you know, made it a little more rider friendly and brought it back to life. And that was exciting to see. And that was a kid that I think is embodying. He's an incredibly talented metalsmith, and he's kind of embodying what we've been talking about, you know, all for community, working hard, respecting your elders, respecting where things came from. And so I'm sure you're going to run into a lot of good guys like that down there. My buddy Ryan Gore is going to be down there, and he also represents a lot of the good side of what's happening kind of in the new motorcycles thing.
You know, I'll say most of these guys that are doing the builds, they really understand what it takes to put together a good ride together. And, you know, they'll take the time to talk to you. They're very sincere. It's mind-boggling, I mean, what they know, the research they've done on the bikes to know how they were original, where they've come from, even on using some of the old methods of producing parts. Some of these guys are doing some great work with castings. So it's pretty amazing, and you get a chance to go to, like, hand-built. I've already been to Garage Brewed and Mama Tried this year. And it's just really something special to watch the differences of the bikes and see that diversity. And when you get to talk to them and realize that most of these guys are really down to earth and they just really enjoy what they do.
Yeah, they do. They really do. I got another question that came in here, Bob, for us. It's we've had a question from this guy before. His moniker, if you will, is Teabag Lovegood. He says, I have a friend that rides it like he stole it. How do you tell your dumbass friends that they can ride your shitty bikes but not your good ones?
Well, the way I do it is I have kick only on my good ones, and they very don't ask. You know, makes it real clean and simple. You know, you got your friends, your bikes are precious. And, you know, you just straight up tell them, man, you know, you can ride this piece if you want, but this one is mine. And, you know, there's probably two guys I would let ride on any of my stuff, you know, you being one of them, probably Scott Hakens. And other than that, man, people just know, you know, if they ask, I have no problem with telling them, you know, sorry, that's, you don't qualify. You just gotta.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly, man. I don't know. I just don't let a lot of people throw legs over my stuff. I tell you, that bagger you were talking about earlier, when I rode it around Sturgis, man, that was a nice bike. Man, I tell you, you've got that thing set up perfect, Bob. Man, I was jealous of that.
Well, that comes with a little experience, you know. And there's nothing wrong with riding like you stole it if you know how to ride, too. You can't be an idiot out there. It's just that's no good for anybody. You hurt somebody else, hurt yourself, that's not good. But if you've got the skill and you know how to ride, by all means, get out there and turn the gas on.
Yep. Well, and it's something else too. I'll tell you, T-Bag. The other side of it is when you're in somebody's car, if it's a hot rod, if it's a classic, if it's a supercar, you know, or somebody's motorcycle, you know, whatever kind of bike it is, you also, you know, you can ride anything you want to do on your shit's fine, but you ride like a bat out of hell on somebody else's stuff, you might just get your jaw loosened. You know, you got to be respectful of other people's shit, too. And a lot of people, you know, if the guy's being disrespectful to your stuff, then you probably need to also see whether or not you need to kick him to the side, too. Not everybody that's around you needs to be around you. So,
it's one thing when people ask you to ride. For the most part, if they're asking and you're not offering, that's just a good indication right up front. But I'll tell you, you got to be careful when people offer you their bike to ride. I remember one year in Sturgis, this guy had this real pretty custom bike, man, that was just, it was sweet. And he said, oh, you got to ride? I said, no, I don't. And I said, okay. You know, I finally gave in. And I'm running that thing down 90 coming back into out of Sturgis. And, man, I got into this crazy wobble at about 100 miles an hour. It was a tank slapper. And I did all right. I got it back under control. But I don't think I've ridden anybody else's bike much since then, you know?
Yeah.
That goes both ways. You got to be careful when you're making sure you're riding the right equipment.
That is the truth. That is the truth. So, now, Bob, you were kind of the guy right now in the motorcycle industry, where if somebody is going to build a custom motorcycle and it is going to achieve world championship status, at some point they are going to have to pass through you to get there. And how did that all happen? You started Biker Pros, was that 13, 14 years ago?
Yeah, man, it's something like that. It's been a while. Probably around 2005, so, you know, 12, 13 years, got into that. Originally just doing some, putting stuff together for builders to make it easy for them, the kind of parts that they wanted from transmissions and specialty parts and then helping some builders out that were making stuff, you know, selling it for them, but always taking care of the custom bike builder. And then I started working with Robin Bradley at AMD on the World Championship. Oh, God, that was probably, 2007, 2008. It's been a while. And along the way, I got, I've done a lot of bike shows. I mean, I started doing them for NEMCO in the 80s and the 90s. We had a show in Sturgis before anybody else, so kind of familiar with what goes on around the bike show scene. And the people from Avanstar and the Ultimate Builder came to me and wanted to put something together, and we did it, and we tied it into the World Championship. And so I've been over to Germany a few years now, and we now have the Custom Culture artisan and bike shows, and the winners of those get to go to Columbus to the AIM Expo Championship of the Americas, and if they win there, they get their paid trip for them and their bike to Germany for the next one will be the 2018 World Championship of Custom Bike Building.
Wow, that's exciting, man. So now, speaking of the Custom Culture shows, you're going to Austin, and while you're down there, you're going to have a Custom Culture meeting. Tell me what that's about.
Well, you know, we've a couple of years ago, I came up with, I was trying to define what was going on. You know, we've had the V-Twin Expo and the V-Twin Committee for years, which I've been proud as hell to be part of, you know, with NEMCO and in other aftermarket areas. But things are changing a little bit, and that custom scene is becoming broader. So it's not like it's the metric custom scene or the European custom scene and the V-twin custom scene. And you got, I think everybody in the world or manufacturers are making V-twins now. So just calling it the V-twin scene kind of isn't correct. What it's really about is this custom culture that we live in. Whether you're old biker guys like us or you're part of this new breed, it's a lifestyle. It's the apparel you wear. It's the people you hang with. It's the parties you go to, the bikes you ride. It's a culture. It's a whole custom culture. And it really is representative of why people love motorcycles, because they're personal. It's not like a car, you know. It's not like running around in a cage and you ride it because that's what you have. You know, some people have hot rods, but the majority are just, it's transportation. Well, your motorcycle, whether you're just putting grips and pipes on it or you're doing a hand-up build, is, it's personal. And that's what the custom culture is about. It's personal, and that's that camaraderie and everything covers and comes from that. So we're trying to get involved with the Motorcycle Industry Council. Make sure people are represented and helping new builders get started. You know, this is a tough industry, Pat, and we're here to try to help people get into it, get a business, build a life, be able to support your family and enjoy this lifestyle like we have. So that's really what the custom culture is all about.
Absolutely. Well, and I am so thankful you guys have been good to me, the Custom Culture Artists and Show Series. At the Rot Rally and the Cherokee Blue Ridge Run are opportunities for people to see it. And I want them to go because you guys also sponsor my podcast, and I'm so appreciative of that. And I'm excited about being down there at the Rot Rally with you and doing all of that. That's going to be a good time. Jeff Major keeps telling me that there's going to be copious amounts of barbecue and whiskey, and that sounds like a good time. I've got one more, I got another biker etiquette question. I want to come back to the AMD, the World Championship stuff, because I want a little more detail about that, but I want to get this in. Steve apparently just got married 2 weeks ago. He wants a couple of quick words of advice to make sure my wife and I don't shit the bed. I guess one thing is just go to the bathroom. I think he wants to know, how can he keep his marriage together? Bob, you and I, Lord knows, you're done better than me. I'm on my second one. But you and I have been hard to corral at times. How would you tell Steve to kind of keep his marriage healthy?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, it's a lot to do with the woman you marry. It certainly isn't on me, and I know it's not on you, Pat, you know?
Hell no.
Because you got to be yourself. You know, the bottom line, like we said before, earlier in this conversation, no matter what, you got to be yourself, and your old lady's got to be really happy with that and who you are, because us biker guys, every now and then, we're going to get a little crazy and stray a little bit, and may take a couple days to find our way back home again, but you got a good woman that understands that and knows your meaning well, and headed in the right direction and let you do your stuff. That's the key, man. It's having a good old lady, and that's because us guys just don't have control of that situation.
No, we don't at all, man. But you are so right. It's man, you don't shit where you eat. And you make sure you always know where home is. Those are two important things. You just can't get distracted out there. There's all that little tail out there that's swishing around, and that's fine, but you don't need to bring any of that home. You got to take care of mama at home. So now, Bob, if I were going to build a bike, what would the road to Germany look like for the World Championships for me? How do I get my bike to Germany?
Well, you know, that's a good question. So first off, You know, you probably want to run a few shows. The Ultimate Builder series gives you some great exposure. They use the same basic formula in terms of judging with peer judging, so you kind of get used to that whole deal. There's two direct shows, as you already mentioned, the Republic of Texas Rally and the Cherokee Blue Ridge Run. Now, it is for the freestyle guys. So already a freestyle bike is a bike that has no limits or restrictions. All, you know, the only limitation is that of the builder and his resources, you know. You got to build something special, something tight. Every detail has to be right. 2 years ago in the World Championship, we had two gentlemen that built their own engines. One did it from castings and one milled it out of billet. But we're talking cases and everything. So that's the kind of competition you're going to be running against. And it's pay attention to the details, you know, because your peers are going to judge. They're going to notice it. You know, don't worry about doing something weird or strange that nobody else has done before. Worry about the quality. Obviously, they have to run and stop. You know, for the World Championship deal, you got to actually send a video in to prove that. But details, details, details. I've seen every different style of bike win that championship, and the ones that win always are impeccable. You know, their paint is perfect. Their chrome is perfect. Everything is lined up. Their cables are routed the right way. It's just, there. You look at them and they're just pure perfection. So it's a lot of sleepless nights. If something's not right, you throw it away and start all over again. It's dedication, undying dedication and commitment to being the best you can be.
Man, I tell you, and I say that all the time whenever I'm doing award shows and stuff, you know, it's in the details. Just make sure that what you've done, you did right. And that's hard to do. I mean, I'm building this Royal Enfield bike right now, and I already know that this isn't going to be the best bike I ever built. You know, I mean, and anybody that says, well, every bike I build is the best bike I ever built, that's just, you can't nail it all the time. You know, I mean, it just, and so that's what makes that special to me is those bikes are, you know, once in a lifetime kind of bikes that, you know, this guy was able to take the time and the resources and really get everything to line up just right for him. And so that's a special thing to see those stars line up for people like that and have those bikes come down the pike. That is something else. So. Now, what's next for you? Where will you be at next?
Well, I'm obviously in Austin this weekend, running our custom culture meeting. We're really excited. We're the Motorcycle Industry Council is paying attention to us. We have some industry leaders coming in, and it's all about supporting the builders and the small manufacturers. So we're excited about that. The Handbelt Show is one of the best shows around. Getting to hang out with those guys, you know, I've been doing this long enough, so all these builders are good friends, and we have good times. In June, we got the Republic of Texas Rally coming up. We may have something in Arkansas right after that, the Pig Trail Palooza. AMA Vintage Days in July, Fuel Cleveland, Sturgis, you know, then what do you got? Then you got the Cherokee Run. OC Bike Fest and AMA,
yeah.
You know, so I get pretty busy between now and about the middle of October before things lighten up again.
Yeah, well, good. Well, it sounds like I'm going to see you at a lot of those events, so I'm looking forward to it. We can, maybe this year in Sturgis, we can reenact our one big day of work that Jeff gave us. We'll start at 9:30 in the morning and finish up at midnight.
That'll work. That was an epic day last year. We did well.
We did well. So we didn't remember what we did, but we did well.
We did well.
Well, Bob, I just want to thank you so much for all the help you've been to me, in the motorcycle industry and, for being with me today. And, man, I can't wait to see you again. We'll drink some whiskey and we'll look at some women, but we won't touch. And, and if we do, it'll just be the two of us and nobody will know. So, but anyway, thanks so much, buddy. And, you take care of that hip and I'll see you. If not before, I'll see you in June down at the Rot Rally. How's that sound?
All right, Pat. As always, it's been a real pleasure. What you're doing is really cool, man, with these podcasts, taking care of people, answering questions. It's good to be talking with you, and we'll see you in June, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of yet another Sin Central Potty. Today we were brought to you, as I said, by the Custom Culture Artisan Show series of the Rot Rally and the Cherokee Blue Ridge Run. And our consistent sponsorship also continues with Atomic Dice Studio Arts. That's Bob McElroy, Atomic Bob, doing fine art, garage art, pinstriping, logo design, illustration, lettering. Ladies and gentlemen, he does it all. He's bringing aliens and monsters into the mainstream motorcycle world. So check him out at Atomic Dice Studio Arts on Facebook and Atomic Dice Studio on the interweb. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. Again, this is Pat Jansen coming at you. Share this with your friends. Follow me on Instagram at Sin Central Garage. Hit me up on Facebook at Sin Central, and we'll see you back this time next week or whenever you want to. It's a potty.